If you would, be opening your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. We'll start there in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 2. It's good to see everyone with us here today. Very thankful for your interest in things of a spiritual nature and wanting to come together to worship our Heavenly Father and to study His most holy word. I think one of the worst things that you could be this morning would be indifferent to coming together to serve the Lord. I want to talk about this idea this morning of indifference. Oftentimes we try to wonder what hinders people in their service to the Lord. And it could be a wide variety of things. James talks about how sin is introduced within our lives when we are drawn away by our own desires and enticed. But the problem with indifference is it oftentimes comes in quite subtly. And you become so focused on the world around you and all the concerns and everything that we have within our lives that these things begin to take greater interest and these things over here lesser interest, if you would, to the point of indifference. If we were to look up the definition of the term indifference, it basically means a lack of interest, a lack of concern, or even a lack of sympathy. Now, there are certain things in my life that I could be indifferent to and it not be an issue. My family could say, hey, where do you want to go eat? And I'll say, I don't care, you know. Doesn't matter to me where we eat as long as we eat, you know. That's what's most important. That's why I'm not indifferent. But there could be other things that in my life I am very interested in and definitely would not be indifferent in regards to my attitude and disposition. But when it comes to matters of a spiritual nature, there is no room within our lives for a manner of indifference within our lives. There must always be an interest in spiritual matters. There must always be within the center of our hearts an interest in serving the Lord, a concern for doing His will. If we lose this interest, if we allow ourselves to become indifferent, then our lives as Christians will begin to crumble. We will stop losing focus on what is important because other things have stolen our interest away from that which is truly important. In today's lesson, I want to consider three different ways in which this indifference affects our lives, beginning with the idea that it causes us to drift from the Lord. You're not paying attention. You're not really concerned which way in life you're going. And so you pull the anchor up and you let the boat just kind of drift wherever the wind takes it. And this is one of the effects of indifference within our lives. This is where we're now in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go ahead and read the first four verses, although our focus will be on verse 1. The Hebrew writer says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now, to verse 1, though, he says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift. The Christian Standard Bible uses the phrase, we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard. Now, that's crucial. We have to pay attention. We have to give the more earnest heed to the things that we study, to the things that we hear preached, to the things that we hear taught. Within our lives, we need to pay more attention to those things. Now, where disinterest comes in, if we begin to lose interest in the Word of God, then we're going to stop paying attention. It's no longer going to be important to us because, well, we're just not interested in it. And when that happens, we stop studying His Word. That's one of the first effects, or one of the many effects, really, that you would see when indifference creeps into your life, you stop studying the Bible. It's not interesting anymore. One time I found it interesting, but you know, not anymore today. It's the same old, and I've got other stuff in my life that I need to be tending to. Well, when that attitude begins to creep in, what will happen? will stop studying. It's just that simple. Over the course of time, it will no longer be as important to us to hear the Word of God as it once was. Paul tells Timothy to give all diligence to understanding the Word of the Lord. And there's a reason for that. Notice in 2 Timothy 2, there in verse 15. He says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, this sounds pretty important, doesn't it? That we need to be able to rightly divide or rightly handle the word of truth so that we can meet with God's approval, so that we can properly serve Him, so that we can properly walk in accordance to His word. But if I'm not interested in the Bible, if I'm not interested in what it has to say, if I'm indifferent, then I'm not going to get to the goal that God has set for me. I'm not going to get to the point where I rightly handle the word of truth. You'll hear a lot of people talk about the Bible, and they'll hear and repeat things that they hear other people say, but when it comes to having an actual understanding of it, they're just not interested enough. They're indifferent to what it has to say. And we cannot allow ourselves to fall within that trap. The interest must always be there so that we can learn how to rightly handle His word of truth. So that, and as the Hebrew writer says, we can discern between right and wrong. In Hebrews chapter 5, note with me there, beginning in verse 12, and let's read down through verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12, he writes, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Well, that's the goal. We study the word of God so that we can get to the point where we have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But it's got to be important to us. We've got to be interested in it. If we find ourselves with an indifferent attitude towards Bible study, then we're not even going to be concerned about things that are right, things that are wrong. We need to have the interest there. And someone may say, "Well, John, through the course of time, I've just lost interest in it." Why? Why have you lost interest in studying the Word of God? What is it in your life that has robbed you of that interest? Who has taken it away from you? You need to identify that. Because it's only through the Word of God that we are going to be properly equipped or thoroughly equipped to do His will. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, which we won't look at in the lesson. We have to have the interest there so that we can get to where God would have us, so that we might properly serve Him. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12, the Apostle Paul, in talking about the various elements that God has given to us within the church and the working of the local church, there's a specific goal behind these elements. If you'll notice with me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And of course, he continues there. But notice, put your focus, if you would, for just a moment, on the fact he says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For, what does he say there? He says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So we have teachers, we have elders, we have preachers who will teach to us what the apostles and the prophets have taught in the first century so that we can be equipped for the ministry of serving our Lord and Savior. But if we lose the interest in those things, then we don't listen, we don't study. There's got to be the interest within our hearts and our minds. It needs to be important to us so that we will be properly prepared for the work of the ministry. Now, here's the thing. This is something that is very personal. This is something that must you within your mind and your heart, and me within my mind and my heart, we must find important. We must establish an interest in these things. Now, if you were already a child of God, then the assumption is you did at some point in your past, you were very interested in it. You were the opposite of indifferent, and you obeyed the truth. But we live in a world that sets about many temptations and bad influences and brings within our lives many other things that demand our interest. And now if we are, as children of God, indifferent to what he teaches, to serving him, then we are not where we need to be. And what it will lead to, and this is our next point, not only do we drift away, but we enter into spiritual poverty. It brings about spiritual poverty. This is where the scripture reading comes in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Jesus here, in the letter that he sent to the church in Laodicea, I want you to notice there again, he says there, beginning in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3, he says, and we'll just read again through 18, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Then he says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. The Laodiceans had lost interest in serving the Lord. We might even say they were indifferent. They were not zealous for good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, Paul in his letter to Titus talks about that God has created for himself a people zealous for good works. Well, this wasn't the Laodiceans. They were physically rich, spiritually poor. Another congregation within the list of the seven there, they were physically poor, but spiritually rich. But this wasn't the Laodiceans. They were lukewarm. And I would recommend, or I would suggest, that their indifference is what stopped them from seeking spiritual treasures. We want God's approval, then we seek God's approval. We have interest in God's approval. But if we don't care about meeting with God's approval, if we are indifferent to it, then we are going to remain in this spiritual poverty, and we will not lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Jesus makes this statement in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. There in what we normally call the Sermon on the Mount, he admonishes his disciples to do that very thing. Matthew chapter 6, let's start in verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he says you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, treasures that cannot be stolen, treasures that cannot degrade, treasures that cannot lose value, treasures that cannot rust. We have the interest, at least we should have the interest, to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. This is how we do this. But if we're indifferent to that, if this is just one Bible verse out of many that we hear all the time and it doesn't really mean a whole lot to us, then we'll find that through the course of time, our indifference will lead to the spiritual poverty. That we will not be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That we will stop seeking the reward of the inheritance. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Colossae, over in Colossians chapter 3, take note with me here, if you would, for just a moment, beginning in verse 23. He references this reward of the inheritance there. He says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. For he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there's no partiality. But I want to focus there on verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. When will we serve the Lord Christ, when it is important to us and we have it set within our heart, that's when the interest is there and it drives us to serve Him. But if we lose the interest of serving Him, if we become indifferent to it, then we will not receive the reward of the inheritance as He talks about. Similarly, over in Hebrews chapter 10, 34 through 39, Hebrews chapter 10, this time in verses 35 through 39. Notice what the writer again says here. He says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is great reward. Well, what must be there in order for that confidence to be there? You've got to have the interest, the concern, the desire to serve the Heavenly Father, the desire to walk according to His path. But let's continue onward there. He says, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. It's got to be important to us. We've got to have the interest there if we are going to endure. Have the endurance there, he talks about, so that we may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure with him. What would cause you to draw back? Maybe a number of things, but in the context with this lesson, indifference. A lack of concern, a lack of interest in serving God. But then he says in verse 39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of their souls. We must be interested in things that God is interested in. We must do this if we are going to live our lives in a way that He finds acceptable, if we are going to have our sacrifices acceptable unto Him. And that's the third and final effect we'll talk about of indifference. It makes our sacrifices to God unacceptable to Him. Now here's a great example found in the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Let's turn over our Bibles to Malachi chapter 1. We're going to start our reading in verse 6, and let's read through verse 14. Kind of the background here, the children of Israel, they have returned from the Babylonian captivity. By this point, the temple has been rebuilt. The city walls, I believe, have been fully rebuilt and repaired as well. And they have resumed the worship of the Heavenly Father just as He had intended for them to do. But notice beginning in verse 6, we now enter a problem once again. Beginning in verse 6 of Malachi 1, he says, oh, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. He says, if then I am the father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? In other words, the Lord says to the priest, you've despised my name. I'm the father, where's the honor? And their arrogance brought about from them, in what way have we despised your name? You have defiled food. You offer defiled food on my altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us while this is being done by your hands. Will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, a pure and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. So the people who were supposed to have had enough interest to honor God and to worship acceptable sacrifices unto Him were not. They were indifferent to it. It didn't matter to them. Matter of fact, they chose not even to worry about it. They're going to offer sacrifices that God would not find acceptable. They'd be contemptible, and they would be, the sacrifices would be rejected by God. Now, how does this apply to us today? Well, I'll turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul, in his letter to the church at Rome, notice what he says here. Beginning in Romans, we're in the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 1. He writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the instructions are given to us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Our life is a sacrifice to God. And when it is of great interest to us, then we focus on it. We make certain that it is as God would have it to be. That we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we worship Him with all of who we are. We make certain that what we offer up to Him within our lives, we're supposed to be holy, separate and apart from the world, and even when we come together to worship Him, must be that which He finds acceptable, not contemptible. And as long as we have that interest there, it is going to matter to us. But when indifference steps in and we don't really care anymore, then it doesn't matter what we do, at least within our minds. It's really not that important. At least within our minds, our sacrifices are no longer acceptable unto God. Think about worship service. We come together collectively to worship the Lord. How great is your interest in these things? Or is there simply a space of indifference where there should be interest in coming together? Sometimes if our interest isn't there, I wonder if the songs that we lift up to our Heavenly Father are lacking the melody within our hearts. We just go through the motions of singing the song verse by verse. If the interest is not there, then our prayers that we offer up would be then without intent and without reverence. Because it's just the time to bow our heads while Brother so-and-so leads us in a prayer, listening for the words, amen. And then we know we can sit back up and open our eyes again and go back on our way so that we'll get worship services over with and get on to what we really want to do. Now, I'm hoping and praying that none of our hearts that picture is painted and exists. We should all be of the great desire to have this desire to worship the Lord in a way that He finds acceptable. But if we are indifferent, then we really have no interest in the things that God has to say. You know, it's almost as if, well, we've come, we sang a few songs, we partook of the Lord's Supper, and now we're done for the day. There's a story, and this is a whole other sermon, I guess. Story I heard years ago, as a younger preacher, and you know how preacher stories go. They're kind of like fish stories, but there's some truth instant somewhere in there. Services had begun, and this fellow walked in. He was prepared to go to the beach. He was one of the members there. And he came in and he went up to one of the men standing in the foyer and said, listen, when it's time for the Lord's Supper, we're going to be out in our car. Would you mind bringing it out there to us so we can partake of it and then we can get on to the lake? Now, you know, did that happen? Likely, somewhere or another, some form or fashion. Is this acceptable? Absolutely not. Because our interest is to come together to worship the Lord, not mark off a few checkboxes and then call Sunday good and go home. We come together to worship the Lord, and our interest should be to hear His word. Paul tells Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. But that requires something, if you would. It requires people to be interested in hearing it. And Paul takes for granted, and so does Timothy, that they are. Well, except for those who would rather hear words that tickle their ears and would say what they wanted to be said. But you get the point, though. There must be a great interest within our hearts, within our minds, when we come together to worship the Lord. Think about when we partake of the Lord's Supper. If we are indifferent about it, it's just one other act that we do without thinking about the death of Christ, without remembering what He's done. We just go through the motions. But if we have the interest and the concern and the love for our Heavenly Father, then these things represent and mean what God has designed them to do. Even contributing, something as simple as a contribution. When we're indifferent, there's no forethought, there's no cheer. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. But when the interest is there, then yes, we will be excited about serving our Lord. We will want to come together and serve Him and worship Him with our fellow saints. And everything that we offer up to Him, we strive with the best of our hearts to make them acceptable unto Him by doing so in accordance to His Word. When we become indifferent, here's the warning. When we become indifferent, we lose interest in Bible study and in studying the Word of God. When we become indifferent, we lose interest in worrying about those things that are right and wrong. When we become indifferent, we lose interest in even going to church services. It's just not important anymore. Bible classes aren't important. The services aren't important. They've got more important things within our life. That's what indifference brings within our minds. And this is what it results in. And when we become indifferent, we lose interest in so many other areas. I mean, we can talk about the family. With indifference, we don't really care about our families. With indifference, we don't really care about what the Bible says about rearing children. When it comes to indifference, we no longer really care about what the Bible says about our relationship towards the government, obeying the law of the land, and morality, and so many other things. We must be interested in serving our Lord. That must be our desire. I mentioned earlier at the start of the lesson that the world presents so many things that compete for our interest that will rob our interest in serving God away. John says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's where we need to begin. If we find that we have lost interest in serving the Lord, if we find that we no longer have this desire, that we're kind of indifferent to the whole thing, then let's go back to this verse and ask ourselves, what have we grown to love more than we love God? We need to take interest in serving the Lord. We need to take interest in the Lord. We need to take interest in the Word of God itself and make it important to us. If we have found ourselves in a point in life where it is no longer of interest, we need to change that. Don't allow the world to take it away. Don't allow the world to deceive us in a way where it takes that interest away from us. Let us always serve our Lord and be interested. Let us have that fervent zeal for which we have been created to serve the Lord wholly and acceptably from our hearts and from our minds. Now, if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary for you. He died so that you can have your sins washed away by His blood, so that you could walk acceptably and in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. But you must come to that point of understanding. If you believe that Christ is the Son of God, then make the decision this morning to repent of your sins and be buried with Him in baptism, so you'll rise up then to walk in the newness of life. Now take the interest that the interest in serving God, which has began as a seed, and let it grow into a tree, always bearing fruits of interest within your life, interest in serving the Lord and walking according to His Word. If you are a Christian and you've not been living faithfully, there may be a problem of indifference within your life regarding these matters. If that's the case, then it's time to repent. Find the importance. Put the interest back where it needs to be. Repent and turn back to the Lord and walk once again in His fellowship. If you're subject to the gospel's call and invitation, come forward as we stand and as we sing.